just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com. So Steve, you and I grew up during the Disney Renaissance.
I didn't even know I was.
You didn't even know you were a Renaissance man?
I just thought Disney was amazing.
Well,
and
it
then
is.
It wasn't till, right? But I just remember just thinking like, oh, look at all these great Disney movies, like Little Mermaid and all kinds of stuff. And then it wasn't till later that I found out that they weren't great and they became great and whatnot.
Well, the weird thing is Disney started out amazing, went into a slump. Then during the classics age, you know, the golden age, they did all their big films, then they went into a slump again in the 80s, only to in the 70s to come back in the 80s.
And I guess that's the way life is with everything, though. You just never quite know what era you're in until you're out of the era.
That's
and you look
very
back
true.
At it. So
appreciate the time you're in, folks. You
completely
never,
right.
You never know if you'll look back and decide this was a better time than what you're in. Gosh, that's
depressing. Much like most of the Disney movies we've seen.
But as kids that grew up during the Renaissance period of Disney, we were very spoiled.
Yeah.
With the great animation that was coming out at the time. And everyone was struggling kind of to match Disney's level of animation.
Yeah.
So much like in the case of the theme parks, when they compete, the winner is the consumer.
Exactly.
Because everyone is pushed to do better work, and
maybe not the consumer pocketbook, but the consumer is.
Sure. Right? Well, but in the case of movies, I mean, while they are insanely expensive now, it seems like every ticket,
it's a level playing field, basically.
$15. You get a consistent experience with movies that you don't get with being in the parks. You never know what the parks are going to be like, right?
Uh-huh.
But the movies are always the same. They have the same beats and the same music, so it's always a consistent experience.
Completely.
But like you said, looking back on it, you don't realize how good you had it until you move past it.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about, you know, the kind of lackluster films that rounded out the Renaissance that weren't as popular. What we're talking about basically is the slow decay of the 2D animation style.
Yeah, apparently I didn't even know that this necessarily happened, because we just recently thought about this.
Mm-hmm.
There's been all of the remakes and all the CGI stuff and all of the craziness that's been going on with the movies and all the new technologies coming out.
Right.
And then I asked, I said, when was the last time they came out with it, with just a traditional hand-drawn animated film, right?
Right.
And then you told me it was Princess and the Frog.
Princess and the Frog was the last time Disney made a 2D animated film.
Which seems like forever ago.
It was.
Two scores in a lifetime ago.
The reason that it came up is because a lot of the discussion around the latest remake, The Lion King, it basically has photorealistic animals. People are consistently impressed with how real the animals look.
Right.
They can do amazing things with computers now that they look insanely real. But the general consensus is that they lost a lot of the spirit of the original version.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as lively, they're not as expressive, and that's just a product of the tools used to make the film.
Well, exactly, and it's, even with Aladdin was fun and it was good to go watch, and I don't mind the new interpretation of it, but there's nothing that competes with the genie and Robin Williams and that insane over-the-top personality that was drawn that way, and mm-hmm. that, you know, all of the craziness that is that. That's what we love about shows, it seems like, the animated movies.
Well, I remember watching, I mean, I love the behind-the-scenes stuff. I watch it more than I watch the actual films. But when they were making Aladdin, The animator said, "We wanted to animate the genie in such a way that it could never be duplicated live action."
Really? Literally?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they made sure they squashed and stretched him, and he morphed, and he changed, and he'd shrink, and he'd grow, and he was very dynamic.
Gosh, that would have been decades before they even knew that was a thing.
Yeah. But, I mean, they'd moved Beauty and the Beast to Broadway by the time they did Aladdin, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
Is that fair? I don't even know if that's accurate or not. Either way, there had been live-action versions of Aladdin made before Disney made their version of Aladdin.
Right.
And,
it's an old story.
The genie shows up. He's kind of a dude wearing baggy pants, you know, sometimes. And he's just kind of a stoic standard character in a lot of those iterations. You look at the way Disney made him, and a lot of this obviously was Robin Williams' performance specifically, but they wanted to make him super imaginative in such a way that no live-action actor could recreate what they had done.
Yeah.
And as much as I liked Will Smith's interpretation, and he took on a major challenge by stepping into that role, and even with as funny as he was, it's a real person, you know. Exactly. They can only do so much with a real person's performance, and people push so hard for realism that you lose a lot of the energy that comes from the animation that we all grew up with.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little bit on the last podcast, but I want to talk about it a little bit more thoroughly about how even the hand-drawn animation, how much more lively and how much over the top that is, and how much more emotion, you know, comes from the artist's hand, you know, as an artist myself.
Yes, JK, as a very y'all, accomplished I'm, artist.
I've never drawn a thing, but I've just heard that, you know, so much of it just comes through your hand and now onto the page and that kind of thing. And I wonder now with the computer animated you know, algorithms of sorts that are kind of making the movie, like it feels to me like they're cute and they're really nice and they're really clean. They're very clean movies to watch, right? We saw that with Toy Story 4 and a bunch of other ones, that they're very, very clean. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of done with the clean. I kind of want it messy, and I kind of want it to be extreme and unrealistic and over the top. Like, that's what I'm kind of craving right now.
Right. I think the problem is hand-drawn animation is a very specific skill and a very specific discipline that isn't utilized much anymore.
Right.
Or at all in some cases. When you learn to animate, I have very little, you know, history with this. I haven't ever physically animated, but I've seen enough, you know, features on it. When you animate something, you're building in that motion. You are animating the curves and the weight and the movement all by hand, which gives it a very different, very lively sense of movement.
Yeah.
And like I said before, the push with the computer animated things is much more based in reality. They don't squash and stretch their characters.
They want to make them as realistic as possible.
Right. They have a set model that they work off of for a lot of these characters. And they aren't built that way. You think about it, for instance, in the amusement parks, when they build an animatronic of a character, they know basically what it needs to do. So they build in the movements for that specific character to move that specific way.
Right, right.
And it's all built on a skeleton of mechanics, right?
Uh-huh.
It's the same thing with an animated character. They build a skeletal structure with all the movement points in it, put the skin over it, and then hand it to the animators and say, here, you animate this.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are limited by what they can do with the amount of movement.
You know, and I just think I kind of thought of the other reason why this is kind of bugging at me a little bit recently is that everything we go to see feels so formulaic and exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same. And you're just like, okay, we've, you know, Marvel just announced 10 more superhero movies.
Lots of them.
If the 22 that you saw before weren't enough, there's now 10 more. Mm-hmm. And they all have exactly the same pattern. Mm-hmm. Exactly the same pattern. And it's the same way with animation now. Animation is so precisely clean, and they all look almost the same. In-N-Out looked a lot like Toy Story. They all just, you know, they're all just pretty. But none of them look like 101 Dalmatians. Not a one looks like that anymore. And so, I don't know. I guess that's kind of what I'm missing. Because also, you know, you and I talked about a little bit that, like, the claymation stuff. I really kind of miss seeing that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even really, I wasn't even really into these kinds of movies until recently. But
right.
I just kind of miss the other artistic takes on the movies.
And I think a lot of the problem is CG movies, they take a long time to animate, as do hand-drawn ones.
Yeah.
But it's a different medium, and getting it to work is very different. And I think what we're running into here is a product of our age, where information moves so quickly that movies basically are made by committee now.
Yeah.
Corporate steps in and says, no, we don't like this ending. Or you show a preview and the audience rejects the certain character's depiction or mm-hmm. whatever.
So
and
you kind very of safe.
Yeah, so you kind of tweak it so that it'll be more popular.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of having, you know, a character death that might upset people, you write around that and change it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you do lose a bit of the spontaneity in the storytelling as well as the visual itself. This isn't to say that I don't love computer-generated movies. I love Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great film.
Right.
But there is a soul in a hand-drawn animation that we've moved away from.
Completely right.
And we did a little bit of study to find out why. And it goes back to the person that saved animation at Disney.
Huh.
When Jeffrey Katzenberg was hired on over the animation department at Disney.
Yeah.
It was at one of those times where they were quote-unquote talking about shutting down Disney animation.
Right.
And it was unthinkable.
Right.
Why would you shut us down? We've made all these classics. And he came in and really shook up the process and said, no, you're taking too long. These movies are too expensive. They're not making enough money. We need to produce and we need to make money. And he wasn't very popular for those opinions, but the first thing they turned out was The Little Mermaid under his his very structured business style of doing animation. And that really started the Disney Renaissance that we grew up in. Him pushing more than the kindly old men who said, we'll get it done when you can. Oh, that's looking really nice, you know.
Gave him deadlines.
Yeah, he came in and said, no, we have to edit this.
This sequence better be drawn or you're not getting a check.
Right. How many fish are in that scene? Cut it down. We don't need that many. You know, it turns into one of those sort of things. And while I don't enjoy the business aspects of that, I do enjoy the fact that he did demand that they produce up to their level.
Yeah.
You know, not that, you know, I'm not being judgy, but he saw the potential there and forced them to perform. And I think that was a really good thing for Disney. Obviously it was, because the Renaissance is amazing. And that's where most of our remakes are coming from, is from this
from
Disney
that
Renaissance.
Time period. Yeah.
But then when this man who saved animation at Disney left Disney and went to DreamWorks, he started poaching all of those animators out of Disney.
Yeah.
And he would do that by offering them more money. And, you know, animators don't get paid a lot anyway.
Right.
So more money is always, yes, I would love to get paid more for doing what I love.
Yeah, finally.
Can't blame him for that.
Finally making a livable income, or, you know, living
right.
nicely.
And so to fight that, everyone had to start raising their salaries for artists, which is great. I think they deserve it, 100%. They have a very time-consuming and tedious job where you're drawing over and over and over again.
The exact same character, a fraction of a centimeter more than it was right before.
Right.
Yeah, it does seem ridiculous when you think about what it takes to animate a movie. So.
Sure. But then the problem was this, this new business style of doing animation didn't continue to translate to making money. Whatever the causes were, whether it was the story or the look or whatever it was, they weren't making money. And the first thing that they could look at to say this was too expensive was, well, we're paying these animators a ton of money.
They're very expensive and very labor intensive.
Right. And so it started, basically, the problem was, is they were paying their animators the right amount, I think. They were paying them a lot of money. But then when their movies didn't come back with huge returns, they instantly pushed back on, well, it's obviously the animators. They're too expensive.
It had nothing to do with the storyline.
No.
Because I think that's the thing, is at the end of the day, if the storyline is good and if people are enjoying the show, they don't care how it was made. They just, it's all about the story.
Right. You know? And the visual when it comes to animation. If your visuals are choppy or if the characters are very not true. Fun to look at, then it's harder to watch the film also.
That's very true, too.
And so this started the kind of decline in 2D animation. And then you add on top of that, that Toy Story comes out and just blows everybody away.
Right, because it did.
And
it did look visually stunning because it was brand new.
It was totally different.
A completely new technology.
Right. And but I think studios saw that and thought, oh, this is what people want. Yeah. They want the 3D animation. They're tired of 2D animation that's been around for centuries.
Yeah.
You know, let's move on from that. And I don't think it was the correct response, obviously. I love 2D animation. So it's difficult for me to hear that a studio would think 2D animations are not going to make money anymore. We have to make 3D animations.
Well, everybody likes a cyclical change. They never want to see the same thing twice or over a repeat of what was done before.
Sure.
And so it's always changing. So if it was hand-drawn before and then you see this new thing is obviously going to get more attention because it's brand new.
Sure.
But, you know, it would be groundbreaking now actually doing a hand-drawn show.
Well, and then even Disney stepped aside and did Frozen and Tangled, and these movies are huge.
Yeah, they're
huge for Disney. And so it kind of cemented in the business frame of mind, yes, this is what people want. And there was a public outcry that said, we want another hand-drawn animated film. And that's where we got The Princess and the Frog from. They brought back in the directors from The Little Mermaid and said, we're going to make another hand-drawn animated film.
Gosh.
And they produced The Princess and the Frog, which is a gorgeous film.
Truly.
Very beautiful, nicely hand-drawn. The characters are all instantly recognizable.
Yep.
And relatable.
Yeah.
The story was engaging. Everything worked.
Yeah.
And it did not make enough money for them.
And
basically Disney at that point kind of silently and slowly started siphoning off all of their animators and closing down departments.
That's the other thing that I find so amazing about it is that we've heard so many times about that Disney was planning on and getting rid of hand-drawn animation. 5 or 6 times throughout their history.
And how unthinkable it was.
And then apparently they have literally done it. And we've never even noticed that they've done it.
I think the article that I read said very quietly in 2013, they eviscerated their animation department.
Wow.
And it's such a stab. It's such a stab of sadness for me to hear about this happening.
Yeah.
Not just because of my history with loving the animated Disney films, but because of my love of art, because of people I know that work in the industry, I feel this loss.
Yeah.
And even now when I go to the movies and it's 7 previews of computer-generated animation, it feels sad to me that we're stepping away from a gorgeous form of art expression.
Completely right. 100% true. You know, but then I guess, you know, you can kind of look at it and say all they need to do to rebuild it if they choose to do so again in the future is just buy new paint and buy new paper, right? And just start
all you
again.
Need is a pencil and paper, kids.
That's how they started the first time.
Right.
So I guess it wouldn't have made sense to keep all the ink and paint department, you know, behind glass somewhere. The
sure.
paint would have been
yeah.
dead anyway.
I mean, they're not going to be using the multi-plane camera to try to do this again, you know.
I still want them to, though.
There's no way. It's so impractical.
I would love a multi-plane camera.
That thing took up two rooms. Like, it's a giant thing.
And this is the other thing, too, though. Disney has the space. They have the money.
Well,
the shows are making everything they, you know, the shows make so much money
yeah.
that you can put money at a project like this and that it will make money if it comes down to the story. But I don't know. I don't think that the stories are completely as engaging as they once were. You know, I just feel like they, and that's, I think, what really needs to be changed as well. But artistically, I would love to see something great like that, or, you know, claymation again. I would love to see a claymated, but you said they've only done one, basically.
Walt Disney only, I could be wrong, but the only one that I can think of is Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
And they even released that under Touchstone originally because they thought it was going to be too dark for the Disney name.
And I guess I would have to look more into it now that they've acquired so much of the Fox stuff, and they have an animation studio or production studios and stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they've acquired some that way. Maybe they can release stuff under that old, under that moniker now that they own those studios and stuff. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't looked into this at all. I'm just speculating. But then I also wonder too if, like, now that they're going to have Disney Plus, they're going to be cranking out content like crazy folk, and they're not going to be able to, there's no way that they're going to be able to spend that much time and money. But then again, then that makes me think that they're going to have to do that for their movies to stand out for a theatrical release, you know, make
to
it a theatrical
fair,
moment.
They do make amazing, the new Mickey shorts are amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think those are hand-drawn, but they have that hand-drawn feel, which I can really appreciate. And they do, you know, there are smaller studios. I know there's a lot of anime companies that still do beautiful, beautiful 2D animated movies.
Right.
They just don't make it over to the United States in national releases or anything like that.
Yeah.
So there are places that are doing the 2D style of art. What I'm lamenting is the loss of the entire history of Walt Disney Company has silently just been put to rest.
Right.
It was all started by a mouse, as Walt famously said, and now we only animate that mouse in a computer.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, it can be argued that that's what progress is, and Walt would have been super excited about new styles of animation because he's always pushing that kind of stuff, and I'd agree with that. But I also feel like Walt had such a tie to hand-drawn animation that he didn't even like the idea that they weren't going to physically ink the cells when they moved to the Xerox process.
Yep.
So I'm a little torn with what Walt personally might have thought about this, but I can say from people's reactions to at least The Lion King is that people are very conscious now of the fact that this computer-generated animations lack a little bit of soul that comes with a hand.
Well, and we're seeing that with music too. It's why the album, the vinyl records are coming back in such a big way now. And I guess you can't really say big way. It's kind of a niche product still, but people are missing the fact that you used to buy something and actually have a physical way of listening to it as opposed to all of the digital everything now.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we're not really seeing it with photos at all, but you know, this would be the
Third. We are missing it with photos because people say, I have a bunch of digital photos, but I never print them out. And if my computer or my phone should be destroyed, I lose all these photos, you know? So there is,
if Google starts charging me to get my photos back, I would be screwed because that's where they're all at.
There is a bit of nostalgia, I guess, in case here, you know, we of a slightly older generation had physical photos, we had CDs even, we had the 2D animation, and maybe it's just our older generation looking at things and wishing they were simpler like they used to be. But when it comes to animation.
No, it's the lifelessness that we're seeing on the screen.
No.
That was really my complaint on somebody. And we haven't seen The Lion King yet. We might go see it tomorrow and love it and be like, never mind.
Yeah. Let's keep going.
But that doesn't negate the fact that this is still true. Like, we're still, you know, we still feel the same way, though. That
nothing will change the fact that I love hand-drawn animation. And all you need to do is look at Princess and the Frog.
Right.
To see the most recent example of at least Disney's version. And maybe what I need to do is search out these other hand-drawn animations and, you know, give them my dollars so that people see that they are something that people want.
Yeah.
But overall, I think the world is kind of hurting for something soulful and hand-drawn.
Yeah.
It's just a thought.
There you go.
You agree?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, good.
Yeah, of course.
But it's like I always say, kids, practice drawing because you never know when Disney might bring back hand-drawn animation. Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.